guys, welcome to Double T Podcast. I'm your host, Megan.
And I'm Sarah Ann, and we are
the Omi Twins.
Welcome back. Wait, Omi Twins Plus? This is our guest. Introduce yourself.
Hi, friends. I'm Aliot.
So long time friend, I guess.
Yes. What, our like seven years? 6 years.
It's been a minute.
It's been a long time, because I think you were 20. I swear you were 20 when, or maybe
I was 19. 17 when I met you.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. What? I was 17.
Dude, it's been a minute.
I was just a wee little tyke.
Just a little
baby. You were a little baby. We were just babies.
Before I had a baby.
Literally.
Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So this is our longtime friend, Aliot. We
met her. So she came into the studio to like get trained by me. This was so many years ago. And just through the process of training, Allie, like, fell in love with her. And I was just like, this person is, like, a friend for life. Maybe. So, we're just so happy that you're
Literally here today.
So fun.
Talk about all the things, life, health, fitness. She definitely aligns with a lot of the same things that me and Megan do. So, of course,
we a lot of different areas
yes,
of our
for
lives.
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, we are so excited. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, guys. I mean, I literally couldn't think of two better people to, like, do my first podcast experience with.
Okay, are we taking it?
Oh my gosh, we're taking it.
I love it. Okay, well, we wanted to start by talking about, like, your childhood, obviously. Yeah. So, you were raised in a military family, so we're just, like, really interested in that and, like, what that looks like, that lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah, tell us that.
Yeah, where to start. Oh, my goodness. It's funny because I think I'm at that age now as a young woman, too. I'm 23, about to be 24, where it's, like, all those years of moving around, I can finally put into perspective, and I'm at the point where I'm kind of having to confront my whole life was very gypsy-in, you know? Yeah. I was, like, very, very nomadic and definitely identified with that a little bit to the point where, you know, I'm very eager to start laying foundation in my life. Yeah. But there was a side of me that, like, wants to continue to move and travel. But the biggest thing I missed out on moving around, you know, every couple of years was community and friendships and relationships.
Yeah.
And it just felt like people were kind of always coming in and out of my life. And
so did that make you not want to grow deeper, like, rooted friendships out of just being afraid of losing them?
And
like,
was,
you know what I mean?
Knowing that you were leaving?
It was an unconscious pattern I didn't realize I developed, honestly, guys, until very, very recently.
What have you done to, like, try to get out of that pattern?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, honestly, it took, there's been some, like, crazy, crazy growth in a couple of my relationships, I kid you not, with just genuinely within the last, like, month of life. Mm-hmm. And because I have been going through so much change this year, and the Lord's just been doing a lot of work, and it really took me kind of coming encounter with, all right, what is it, like, my heart desires? And, like, he's just been working so much in my faith that it came to me. I was like, one of the biggest things I'm really missing in my life is genuine relationships, you know? And I'm sure you guys can relate to this, but with being a trainer too, I think unconsciously for so many years now, it's like I always felt like I had to show up as perfect for my clients, that there was a mask on.
Yeah.
And then when it came time to separate myself from my profession and go and have those genuine relationships, I was like, the mask has still been on. And it was like, I felt like I always had to have the on switch on with all my relationships. And in hindsight, 2020, I'm like, no wonder I don't have some of those genuine friendships I want. It was because I was never really being, like, the most vulnerable version of myself.
Yeah. Oh,
you know?
100%.
And I was like, I know they're going to be able to relate to this one.
Yeah, dude.
Do you think
it's just, like, it was just, like, a protective thing, you think, that
you
kind of did that?
100%. And so now going back in, you know, God's revealed this to me, and I've just been having to do some real heavy shadow work with it. You know, one of the things I kind of had to go back to is, like, all right, so what's the origin story? Going back to moving around a lot, going back to kind of my environment constantly changing. I never felt, you know, my family was my stability, and then outside of that, nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I just got so used to change. Like, I got, you know, I kind of hit the peak at one place, and it was like, okay, great, things are good, great. And then it was like, nope, here we go again. And so I think, yes, truly it did kind of build up that, like, defense mechanism of, well, these people probably aren't going to last in your life.
Yeah.
So
don't get too close.
Exactly.
And I bet it was easier to stay a little bit, maybe more surface, than, like, actually get to the depths.
And that's, like, the one thing I realized is that, you know, and I love connecting with people. It's, like, one of the biggest reasons I wanted to become a trainer, aside from you, aside from the effect you had on my life, truly. It was just, I loved that opportunity to, like, genuinely connect with other people and make a difference and hear people's story. But then I was like, that's so one-sided, though.
Yeah.
I was like, where am I incorporating this back into my own life, you know, and I wasn't.
Yeah.
And it just felt like I just unknowingly put this pressure on me to like always show up, always be 100%. And it was like, felt like the only people I really could kind of almost come down that level from was like my family.
Yeah.
Really. And so just that, you know, goes to show. So going back to moving around so much, growing up, it's like, I'm at this place now where I am reflecting and I am like, ah, oh, what do I want? What do I desire out of life? And I'm at the point where I did have this spirit of wanting to continue to travel and move, but now I'm at the point where I'm like, how is God ever going to work a fruitful mission in me if my feet are never on the ground?
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa.
I will say about like you and your whole family that has been really like I've really admired is how adaptable you guys are. You guys have been forced into this your whole life, and I feel like me and you, I can speak
for
both
of us.
We're not adaptable. Yeah. We're not good at that. So I do feel like there are skills in that where you learn to be adaptive, you learn to, you know, those different things that I just feel like I just didn't have. And I feel like the Lord puts me in situations to work on being more adaptable. And, but you're on the other end of it where the Lord's like, okay, it's time to get comfortable somewhere.
Right. But I also want to encourage you a little bit and say that, like, you know, back in 2017 when we met, like, I felt like I saw you. You know what I'm saying? Even though you weren't, like, you know, maybe you didn't get there immediately with somebody, but like, you know, that's the reason why we're still friends so many years later.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like, I just like really connected with you and I knew, like, I mean, you're just such a wonderful person.
Thank
so,
you.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's cool that you're realizing, like, you know, that those community, you need to be really developing community and like kind of taking that mask off and like, you know what I'm saying? Jumping into that and what that looks like.
No, to go back to what you said too, it's, you know, none of that goes to say that I don't have those relationships in my life. Of course, again, you guys are a wonderful example of that. I definitely, there are the people where I was like, oh, I could kind of almost let that line of defense down unknowingly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm so glad. It was funny. I was listening to y'all's podcast a couple weeks ago, the one you guys were talking about, like adult relationships. And I was just like, you know, my sister struggles with it. My brother struggles with it. Like my mom struggles with it. Like that's, you know, to this day, like it's just something we're really kind of having to navigate and be like, this is a priority.
Yeah.
How do we heal this? How do we encourage this and grow this going forward? Because we all are realizing, you know, it's crucial to our well-being. And I'm so grateful that I am now learning this lesson. I'm so grateful.
Because your mom now is, you know,
in her late 50s,
in her later stage in life, and like, you know, 100%. Trying to work through that.
I've literally told one of my friends that recently. I was like, I mean, all love to my parents, they've had a wonderful life, but I was like, I do not want to be moving into my 60s. I that's not what I desire for myself. And you know, I know where I've got really wonderful community and great people, and I'm just so grateful that this is like a period of transformation. Like God's been working in my life is just this deep, deep desire for relationships. Fellowships create relationship, and relationship is kingdom currency.
Yeah.
One of my good friends kind of recently spoke that over me, and I was like,
yeah, that's beautiful.
That.
Oh my gosh. I was like, if that isn't the truth right there,
literally.
I was like, you know, because it's when we create those genuine relationships with one another that just like the layers keep getting shed, and we just, they're mirrors, they're reflections.
Well, and that comes back to the Trinity. The Trinity is, you know what I'm saying?
The
like the Trinity is community.
Right.
And so like that comes down to our roots, like that, you know, our creator designed us to be in community. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And that's what the church is.
Well,
you know?
And I've been thinking about that recently, about like the process of sanctification for Christians. So like a process of looking more and more like him and how crucial the body plays in that. So like, Al, you keeping me accountable in certain areas, but how can you keep me accountable if I'm not vulnerable enough with you?
Exactly.
You know, so it's like, it's this vicious circle where if we don't get out of it, because I do think we can relate so much to you and we love our jobs. We love what we do.
Amen.
But there are things that is a big thing with it. And so just being able to truly be vulnerable with people, and then we can experience real growth.
Yeah.
You know?
And I realized like I wasn't asking God to like help my battery, like help my social battery there, help me like lean on you, like give me the strength I need to have the capacity to pour into my clients and still take care of my my life and my friendships outside of it. Like, I need you to help me guide this.
This is a reminder that I need to be praying for that specifically, you know, because I haven't been. I mean, that you just saying that, I'm like, oh gosh, yeah. Like, yeah. I haven't been doing that. It just kind of have, like, accepted it as just like,
right,
this is just kind of what it is. I'm just going to have to, like, push forward and, like, keep going even when I'm, like, struggling. Right. You know what I'm saying? But then I'm like, no, actually, God can help me with that.
And I kind of finally had that epiphany. I kid you not. Like, a week ago, I was like, why didn't I ask you to help me with this?
Like, I've been here the whole time.
I was like, I've been waiting for you. Like,
I just want you to ask me.
No, exactly. I love that. And see, even us having this conversation, I'm like, oh, other people are struggling with the same thing.
Yeah.
You know what
it's
I mean?
So real.
It's so real.
I love that point you made about the Trinity, too. And it's just, again, one of his divine synchronicities. It's something I very recently just encountered, too. It's just the Trinity is a reminder of how important, like, that in itself is relationship.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to some of the criteria of our spiritual life, which is, you know, one, relationship to God, two, relationship to other, three, relationship to self. And then it's okay, let's take that a step further. So we're called to worship, we're called to serve, to charity, and we're called to live a life of holiness. So that relationship to God, it's that's that worship aspect of our character. The, you know, to charity, we're called to charity, to serve, that's a relationship to other, and then to live a life of holiness, you know, that is that relationship to self. Like, he literally gives us the criteria, like, it is right there.
Like, this is from the very beginning, day one. Yeah, I mean, I think that's such a beautiful perspective and how it relates to actually just our life. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I think that our spirituality and our faith, sometimes it just feels so disconnected from, like, our current life, but like, no, it is like
very applicable.
It is, you know, ingrained in us.
And it's beautiful that you said that, because I was thinking about it recently, and it's like, when did we become so disconnected from our faith being the fabric of everything in our lives?
Right.
You know, that's in that, like, obviously that's what the enemy wants. That's why the world is the way it is right now. But you think back to, like, the early Christians and early societies, it was like everything revolved around worship. It was like, we're praying for this today. We're starting with this prayer, ending with that prayer. We're going to, well, what was synagogue, then church, then, well, still synagogue and church. But, you know, it was just, it was the fabric of everybody's existence. And over time, it was like, where did that separation begin to happen? It was just that wedge kept driving in and driving in. And now people's faith are growing lukewarm, if not cold, if not fully separated.
Non-existent.
Yeah. So it's just, it's these, like, these reminders are so fruitful in bringing us back to the fact that, like, no, it's not this separate, far-off concept. It is the every fiber of our being.
Yeah. Literally, yes, ingrained in who we are.
Right.
Yeah.
So then what does that look like? So you're, you know, made these big steps, you're realizing all these things. So what are the things that you're like, okay, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z? Or maybe you don't even have an answer for that yet.
No,
Like one action step.
Towards
that.
Yeah, no, for sure. And this question kind of makes me think back to that part you said, like, there are so many beautiful things about the way I grew up, you know, and I'm so, so grateful for, like, the spirit it gave me. I mean, it just gave me such a desire for just living in awe and wonder of all of God's creation. I mean, I just have like a fire for life, you know, and just meeting people and growing and exploring. All that being said, so these things are kind of coming into this, they're funneling into this vision he's putting on my life. And I think for a while now, I've been trying so many different things, you know, still juggling, like, a modeling career, juggling this, you know, training career, developing, like, my space in the health and wellness world and all these other things. And now it's like, I've just been praying and praying for clarity, because it just felt like I had my hand in so many pots, which I still do. And now I'm, like, truly finally seeing the fruits of the labor. And it feels like I'm funneling into a space that's going to take me back to, like, where I was born, back to my roots in Virginia Beach, because I do have, like, I know you guys don't want to hear that.
I know.
We're in Tennessee.
I'm like, no, it's hot.
Listen, this will always be your second home.
Right.
Dear Jesus.
Yeah, God, pray for her. Yeah, but no, I really do have, like, such a stunning community there of people. I mean, I like, just in the fact that it kind of, I was, like, a little blindsided by the fact that that was there, and just didn't really realize it was right under my nose. And I just feel so called to go back and do his work there. I really have a mission on my heart right now, and I think you guys might know this, but, like, very much my career in wellness and my mission and my, like, wellness and training and all that, like, my heart's for women right now. Like, I'm very, very focused on women's health. I just got my specialization in women's health, and I just feel called to go back and like pour into my community of women there mm-hmm. and just shake the frost
yeah.
off of people who have gone lukewarm, right? Yeah. And who have gone cold, and to just bring back love and healing. And, you know, I heard a sermon once a couple years ago, and I just got refreshed from it today, but it was a father, it was a Catholic church, and he said, the level of any civilization is the level of its womanhood. Because when a man loves a woman, he has to earn it. He has to deserve that love. Mm-hmm. And so when that woman is holding herself to her virtues, right? She's in working in love and grace and mercy, and we just raise up everybody around us mm-hmm. when we're living our truth in God,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So I just feel so called to just nurture a society of women who are really hurting right now.
Yeah.
They're really hurting because we're living in a world where that woman empowerment is not forcing us. It's not bringing us back to true divine femininity.
No,
it's pushing
not.
Us into the image of man.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
And 90%. That in itself mm-hmm. that's the conundrum right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And I want to encourage women that like you have a divine feminine genius over your heart. You have precious gifts that God gave you
mm-hmm.
for you and you only as,
yes.
as a woman,
as a female,
as
yes.
a female
yeah.
to bring to this earth to heal it, to
yeah.
love and to nurture.
Mm-hmm.
We are called to maternity, generosity, receptivity, sensitivity. I mean, these are the gifts that
mm-hmm.
he gave us.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if we keep doing our part, we just love and nurture those around us. And, you know, I get so overwhelmed by everything that's going on in the world right now. And then I'm like, it was like, he just told me, he was like, you got to go back and just start
yeah.
in this one community
yeah.
first.
Let's just start here.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
So that's
yeah.
kind of where I'm at right
I
now.
Love that.
So I've got some, I don't want to speak anything yet. I mean, there's some plans in the work,
yeah.
but they're real fresh. So I don't want to, you know, put them out
right.
there quite yet, but I'm really, it feels so good to finally feel, at rest
yeah.
yeah.
in that. Cause
yeah.
I just think for a couple years now, it's just been a little bit of chasing
yeah,
yeah.
and a
yeah.
little too much striving
mm-hmm.
and not just making strides in the right
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm so grateful. It's
and I think
been
this
real
is,
cool.
I
yeah.
think this will be, you know, God challenging you in like, you know, your faithfulness to him and that this
mm.
is something that is so different from like what you naturally want to do, which is, you
yeah,
know what
girl.
I'm saying? It's like, I think he's really challenging you, and I think it's really exciting. You know what I mean? That, like, you're going to be, like, picking a place for the time being to, like, kind of root
yeah.
and just, you know, see where God takes you in that
right.
journey. You know what I mean? So I think that's exciting.
Yeah. Can
but
you imagine?
Like, you know, I'm
like, Lord, I know you brought her there. We didn't not want
right,
it.
Right.
Also, God, this doesn't mean I want you to move me somewhere. Like,
yeah.
Let's be clear.
Yeah. Don't try to get me to be
just
a downfall.
Just
give
it to
Allie.
Allie.
Allie needs
yep.
to get
raised. Excuse me. Let's grow.
Oh, my gosh.
Weird. No, but I think that's
yeah.
so exciting.
Well, and
thank
I love,
you.
Like, and, you know, honestly, it steps on a lot of people's toes, and I really don't care because truly, like, feminism now is taking over in such a negative way. And I,
mm-hmm.
you know, I talk all the time about the role of the female and
mm-hmm.
the role that God has given us. And I think that so many females are, like, turning away from that. And so I
right.
love that is a mission of yours because I think that's so...
I mean, clearly Satan is attacking.
Oh, a million percent
exactly. right
a
now.
A million percent
right.
he is.
Because he wants to break up all...
Mm-hmm.
Relationships are his enemy.
Yes.
And,
yes.
and like, love is his
yes.
enemy.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
we... it's just it is our feminine nature
mm-hmm.
to just love unconditionally
yeah.
and nurture and be mothering
yeah.
like very very maternal
yeah. yeah
he don't like that
no
dude,
no,
he doesn't.
He don't. No
you know and I witnessed that firsthand like after I had Aria because I was like never like I didn't have that like oh I love the babies and like the
yeah.
mothering thing I did not have that
right
and then
maybe
right
you
after
didn't feel
I
that. Maybe
I never
had it
okay yes but I'm
yeah,
saying
no,
I didn't
mean.
Feel that you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I'm saying. And some women do feel that way, you know, from birth, basically. But right after I had Aria, it was just, like, it was so instinctual and innate
mm-hmm.
for me to love and to
yeah.
care and nurture my baby. And it just was, like, a clear, like, okay, got it, God. Like,
yeah.
He designed us to do this.
Yeah.
And, like, just how innate. It was just, like, I tell people, like, I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and then the role that you play as the mom and the female, but then how that role contributes to the family.
Right.
And like you said, like, Satan wants to attack the family, these relationships. So if you can, literally. So I'm like, if we can strip the female out of that, then we don't have any good functioning like family. So that, I love that you're like falling into that, but it's like, that's the way that it should
truly,
be.
Truly, it was so innate. It was easy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's just like, you know, when we're doing what God has designed us to do, like, it wasn't easy. Being a mom was not easy. It isn't easy. But you know what I'm saying? It just felt so natural. And it was like, why are we fighting that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, and it's funny because I feel like the three of us can definitely relate on this too, is that like, you know, we've all kind of have a little bit of a hard edge to us, you know, like we're trainers. Yeah. We got to put up with a lot. We like love to lift heavy, you know, like
we like the grit.
Yes. We love the grit.
We love it.
And, but that also speaks to a part of the feminine essence that a lot of people think isn't there, which is just this like, like softness. Nah. Like, yes, that's there. But mama bear instincts.
Oh,
like, that's this, a strong woman.
Don't ever mess with a mama bear.
Don't mess.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Especially when you're messing with their kids.
Oh, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, it's, you know, it's not to be, femininity is not to be confused with, like, submissive.
Yes.
And
weak.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. It's cool because I just, you know, I think about how you shifted to after you had Aria.
Dude,
and
so
like
much.
You said, it was just, it's so beautiful. Like that maternal instinct, it is there, and it just takes it, you know, for some women, you don't have a kid and yet you have it. You know, it's in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like, all my friends joke, I'm the mom, you know, like I'm like, are you okay? What can I do for your butt? Like, it's just, it's just in us. It's, it's there.
Yeah.
So
it's
really
beautiful.
Cool. Yeah. It is.
It's beautiful.
I'm like in the season. I'm just embracing every inch of it.
Just
I'm
shedding women.
Shedding all the old layers. I'm like, I don't need to be operating in this heavy masculine. And like, I'm embracing.
No, thank you. I have calluses, but let's get it straight.
I know, right? Like,
Don't get it twisted.
Don't get it twisted.
Well, speaking of calluses, no, I'm just kidding. Actually, we do want to talk, before we talk about fitness.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, we do want to talk about that.
I met you because you were coming in. Allie was coming in because she's a model. And she was like looking to like, you know, I guess really what you were looking for was to be
literally
a certain
get ridiculously
dimension.
Skinny.
Yeah, it was. She was needing certain dimension, which is in that industry.
Yeah, in the industry.
And you know, I was thinking to myself, like, Allie, like, this is your bones.
We can't
get any taller.
It was like, there was no fat on you. There's nothing we can do. If anything, you know, we're going to build some muscle, and that's not going to get us.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
You literally just had to, like, work my fanny.
I was just like, you know, what can we do here? Okay. Yeah, we're just going to do a bunch of cardio and, you know, hope that she kind of falls in love with getting strong. But, so kind of walk us through a little bit of your modeling career.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so I guess we can kind of start from that origin story.
Yes.
So one of the places I was real blessed to grow up in was Alaska. And funnily enough, you know, I'd always, I guess, had a little bit of an affinity, if you will, towards modeling. My mom
Your
did
mom,
it.
Right.
You know, on a local level, and then just kind of being this tall, lanky, green bean growing up. People, oh, you should model. You should. That's a whole other conversation in itself.
Yeah.
It's like that identity,
yeah.
you know, that
yeah.
got put on me at a really young age. Mm-hmm. And I was in Alaska living in Alaska at the time, and, you know, my background's Native American, and I was modeling furs for the Iditarod for, the local natives that were bringing in their furs for the little show they did and everything. Lo and behold, there ended up being a national talent scout there.
Well, wasn't it like somebody brought
your
you
friend.
There? Like,
oh my gosh, I didn't even want to do it. I didn't even want to.
Yeah.
That's so funny. I remember your friend.
Your friend's like trying to be legit, and then you take the doll.
I literally didn't even want to do it, and then like ended up being one of like the selected.
Yes.
So I go to this.
Long story short, she made it.
Long story short, we made it. I went to like the whole talent thingy. Ended up like winning that at 14. Signed in LA at 14. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nuts, and that was the first time I ever had somebody put a tape measure around my body.
Oh my gosh. At 14?
Yep. And, you know, me at the time,
it's
I was just...
It's not the age you want to tape measure around your body.
No, and I, like, thinking back on it, I, like, it was really cool. I was like, oh, wow, like, I'm signing in LA. Like, this is great. Like, the hype, the glam, the glitz, the glory.
Yeah.
But I also was, like, so in love with my soccer career at the time that I just... There's part of me that didn't really care too much. So the measurements got to me. But not to the extent that they did further down the road. So then from there, eventually around 16, you know, I was getting to the age where they always knew I was going to be in New York. So just tall, kind of had this androgynous, high fashion look, you know. And So around 16, I was signing in New York. That's when I came to you because I was getting ready to be up there. Kind of by 17, I officially moved up there a couple of months after working with you. Yeah, and it was just this crazy circuitous event that happened. It was like one thing led to another, just came full circle. And I was excited about it. I mean, it was something I did at that point really, you know, I decided to leave a pretty promising soccer career, you know, going to school to play and everything. And I just felt called to pursue it. And I mean, I would never change a thing about it. I definitely had some incredibly fun and very, very cool experiences with it. But yeah, so it was around, I graduated high school a year early at 16. We were moving here around the time I was getting, you know, my opportunities in New York, hanging out here for a couple months before moving up there. And that's when I met you. Yeah. And do we segue into like the veganism at this point?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk. Yeah, we definitely want to talk about that transition.
Well, but also, it plays a role in like how our relationship too kind of.
Yeah, because I'm also interested in like what kind of, and maybe that is the nutrition part, but like what kind of shifted your mindset from like needing to be skinny or thin to strong. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really interested in that because I watched that story for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and it was so cool to watch
that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you really fall in love with just getting stronger.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important for women to feel strong. I'm really passionate about that. So wherever we need to go to get, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
to also
definitely
touch on that.
No,
you know
100%.
What I mean?
So, okay. So at this point too, I was like, okay, 17 years old. I had to be like 2 years vegan at this point. Maybe 1 year hardcore vegan.
When I met you?
When I met you,
yeah.
I remember
right,
like our first
consultation.
You were like, you know, nutrition wise, like just eat beans, I guess. And I'm like, I literally never touch beans anymore.
I was like, Lord. Where's your protein?
Yeah.
We got a little bit of protein in there.
Yeah, right. So nevertheless, and I'm trying to remember like when it really hit me that I started to get, I mean, I undoubtedly had very obsessive behaviors around the skinnier you were, the more successful you were. I mean, honest to God.
That's just what
that, and that was like, just, like, was that in your head or was that like fact?
No, that's like pretty darn true. It's like pretty accurate. And it really does depend on, a full disclaimer, there are a lot of different divisions in modeling. It depends what you're in. I was in the like high fashion, runway, editorial, you gotta be a stick.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And there's a bit more leeway in the other kind of criteria of modeling. And at least at that time, like I think it's lightened up in some ways, but definitely at that time, and the agency I was working with at the time was like, if you move up half an inch, you're done. Like, if you, any of your things change, like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Dude.
I can't imagine.
So nevertheless, I'm in this space of my life where I'm just like not eating any animal protein. I'm very vegan, very gung-ho on being vegan. Oh, praise Jesus. We're not there anymore.
What started that?
Here.
Why did we start?
My sister.
Okay. Listen. We love her.
We love her. No. You know, honestly, I think I was just a product, I think, of that generation that was like, that was, it was
we're
rising.
Gonna do this.
And
listen, I can fully get on board with like,
right.
God's, I fully believe that God, he gave us the earth to sustain us.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying?
Course.
I can fully get on board with eating all that, but then also.
No,
yeah,
then
also, you know what I'm saying?
Right. From an ancestral perspective, we had time to
Whole
scarcity
foods.
Where we were eating freaking bark.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And like nuts and seeds and such. So, yeah, but you know, everything in moderation. But so long story short, I guess, I'm plant-based at the time into like my first like 3 years of modeling. And just quite honestly, I think like God just got skinnier and skinnier.
Can I ask how you felt, like physically? Yeah. Did you feel good or how did you feel?
Especially compared to how you feel now.
Oh, yeah, night and day.
Yeah.
No, I did not. I think, you know, and anytime I feel like you switch to a new diet, there's some positive changes, right?
Yeah, for
so
sure.
Definitely like, and one of the big reasons going back to like kind of how I got into living like plant-based, I was becoming very interested in health and wellness.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like there was this pool to plant-based living at the time. And
yeah.
the more I explored it, I was like, I guess this this kind of has some truth about
it. You can't argue it to it being healthier.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Like, against the standard American diet.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, yeah. Let's go for it.
Sure.
Yeah. So I guess I was just kind of, I was following that lifestyle for a little bit and coupling that with training nonstop and running a lot. And I was just tiny.
And at what point,
I don't remember being healthy. Yeah. I don't remember.
Because
feeling
I was going to say, at what point did your.
Yeah.
You know, you're...
Yes. Yeah,
is
yeah,
it
yeah.
an autoimmune?
Right. So that's a bit... Yeah, I almost forgot about that one. That's a big point. So at 17, I got diagnosed with an autoimmune condition.
Yeah.
Because of the amount of stress I was putting my body under. Oh, my goodness. Was it trying to scream and shout and tell me,
like,
please stop.
Please
stop. My poor little body literally could not take the life I was living.
Freaking out.
It was... Oh, my gosh.
And what sucks is, like, you know, you were doing a lot of things that are, like, deemed healthy. You know what I'm saying?
It's
like
exercising. You were
eating
well.
You were eating whole foods.
But it wasn't for me. It literally was not for me. And so, you know, I go through getting that diagnosis and all the events that came after that. But of course, me being one for natural health, I was like, well, I don't want to be on prescriptions. I don't, like, how can I keep this? And mind you, I did have a very, like, low grade experience with this autoimmune condition. And so there came a time, I guess maybe around 20, I think I'd hit a breaking point. Yeah, it was around like 20. Yeah, I had to be about 20. Post-COVID, I left New York, right? So I literally was going home for like a break after the like January, February Fashion Week season. Never went back to New York. One thing with,
because you were home in 2020. That's right.
Right.
So I came.
Yes, okay, yes. So I came back right after COVID and I just like did not go back.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So fast forward a bit. Eventually, one thing led to another. I was down bad with just obviously the plant-based lifestyle was not working. I wasn't modeling. Like this thing I've been pouring my life into for the last couple of years. And truly, by the grace of God, he just renewed my heart time and again and led me back to this concept of, like, ancestral living. Like, how did we first operate as humans and, like, what used to fuel our bodies? And at the time, too, I'm, like, really, really deep in my heritage and everything with the Choctaw Nation and, like, working, you know, starting to begin some ambassador stuff with them. And it just, this concept of ancestral living just kept getting flooded into my heart. And so I think one day I just... started eating chicken again. And then
like,
chicken
let brain break again.
Yeah. I was like, dang. No 100 best piece of chicken ever, right?
Literally.
Yeah.
Never had a better
Yeah. And then I had chicken.
Did you feel guilty that first?
You know what? It's funny. People ask. No.
Yeah.
I was like, this is great.
Because
I was
like,
this is how it's supposed to be.
My ancestors ate this.
Like, it was it was like the this is it moment. Mm-hmm. No, not at all. And it was even better the first time I had beef again.
I was about to say, until you had
and
that
I was
veggie.
Like, red
beef. Seeping into all of your pores.
No, truly, I was like superhuman. Ignite. Let's
literally,
go.
She
had
fly
superpowers.
No, genuinely. I think I was by myself the first time I did it, too. And I just remember like soaking
it. Was like a spiritual experience.
You know what? It really was, though, because
so
it was like, I was just like, thank you, Jesus.
Funny.
Like, thank you.
Bring me back to my
which
roots.
I do need to say, you and your family are the ones that introduced me to tofu, which I love, but everybody's like, I'm like, okay, it actually is very delicious. But,
yeah, well, and I kind of want to apologize, so I feel so bad. I was thinking
like,
about
don't
it.
Ever eat that again.
Well, and when you guys told me we were going to talk about that, I was like, I got to make sure I apologize to Sarah on this podcast and just say so sorry.
You didn't change her. She's not strictly tofu, okay?
No. I just actually like the taste of it, but
But dude, it's just wild to me. Like, I crave, if I haven't had, like, just like some meat, it's just like I will just crave
without a
this
doubt
meat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just really does. There's so many nutrients
in
meat,
isn't red
guys.
Meat like the most nutrient dense.
I mean,
meat.
I mean, and so it's just interesting that there's just this huge pull against eating meat right now. You know what I'm saying? And
well, because. Yeah. Wonder why.
We could go down the
rabbit hole.
You guys want to hear that rabbit hole again? Because we'll go down it again.
We will do it.
Yeah.
I mean, no, but it is, sure. Like, it is so nutrient dense, and it truly, like, you felt the feeling of, like, starving yourself from it for a while, and then once you got it. So tell us about your health after you started eating meat again.
Yeah, and the big thing for me too was, and this kind of lends itself to my ethos around, you know, what true optimal well-being looks like now as well. And for me, it was this evolution of, okay, well, what did our ancestors eat? How did they get the food? For the big issue I had that kind of led me to being plant-based was this concept of this industrial animal agriculture that's just disconnecting us so fully from our food systems. It's not going to work for me. I can't do that. And
that's
so
fair.
When I came back into eating meat, it was like, how do I nourish my communities? How do I find my local farmers? How do I support these families and the good work they're doing and the humane, true as all can be ways of providing sustenance for their communities, right? So I, the first like package of ground beef I got was from a farmer I knew through like my FDMP. And so I think a big aspect of food is truly that like, is that community aspect of it. So when I was coming back into eating meat, it was just diving into like, where am I getting all this from? And the sourcing for me, like was so good to know where it was coming from. And it just really, I think was kind of like the cherry on top and bringing me back into optimal health. So one thing led to another. I was like eating all the things again, you know, but removing some other things as well, like some of those harsher grains, those harsher veggies that are just not really for us to be eating, you know? And, and just kind of started finding like what worked for me. I'm a big raw milk drinker now too. I don't know if you guys are on that yet. It's a game changer.
I'm open,
I can totally get onto it.
I mean, I can spiel about that as well, but, it did take a little bit of time, but without a doubt, as soon as I started getting like red meat back in my system, that's when I was like, and it was like all my autoimmune issues just got less and less and less, you know? And most of the time when I would have a flare up again, it would just be from like a high like stress situation or like came across something that I don't tolerate well. So now it's we're in such a good place with it. I like love where I get to source all my food and know where it's coming from. And to be able to share like that concept and that methodology with other people and see how much other people benefited from it too is just, it's really cool. And it feels great.
That.
So praise God.
That.
I got some muscle on my body
Okay.
Like,
so
healthy. I'm not a stick.
Okay. So let's talk about that. So, you know, I'm sure it was really hard to get away from that, like being, you know, thin.
Right.
So like, how did you get out of that mindset and then start like falling in love with strength training and getting strong?
You know? It's funny too, because I was already starting to lift towards the end of being vegan. Like I was working with barbells and I was loving it. I was like falling in love with strength training, but I was still staying so lean because I wasn't getting any protein, like barely any at least.
Yeah, because that's the, you know, building
block. And I remember when I started eating meat, like one of my real good friend's moms was like, you know you're about to put on some muscle now, right? And I was like, come on, like, there's no way. And it was like almost instantaneous.
<media game. laughs>
No, I'm so serious. I really think, like, it happened quick.
Oh,
my gosh, y'all.
Well, so was there a part of you that, like, fought against that? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I think I was just so ready for change in my life, and like I knew I was listening to what God was telling me to do with my body and how to nurture it, that just, you know, as I watched my body like change and develop, it was hard. It was not without its hardships. Like clothes that skinny 117 pound year old me, like or whatever, when I was 17, between 17 and 20, like, you know, I was not fitting into some of those, which I shouldn't even have been fitting into.
Yes,
and that was the aha moment for me. I was like,
this wasn't natural.
I was like, this was not even natural.
Exactly.
Like I'm 6 feet tall and severely underweight. Like
my
body's
not supposed to be a size zero.
No, no, no.
So I think it was kind of like, I think that, that was really helpful and and being able to just really embrace the change that was happening and just love it. And
I'm sure it was hard to fight against the feeling of just feeling good again.
Yeah,
it's just like, you know.
The hard part was people saw. Yeah. People noticed. And
but in such a good way. It was like, yeah. I would see you on Instagram and I was like, man, I love, like,
you
I
can start, see the I, definition.
I was seeing well,
muscle now I get
definition.
Compliment all the time. Yes. And I'm like, yes. Okay.
Oh, because it's such God. It's such a like beautiful look to like have. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I think also women just fight against that. Like my even mom, like a couple days ago, I was like trying to get her to go like lift yeah. a little bit heavier and she was like, yeah, I don't wanna
be
it was
bulky.
Like a row. She was like, I don't wanna look and I said, Mom, I row 60 pounds. You're rowing a 12 and a half pound. Do
oh, no.
I look? I was like, what do I look to you? Do you? And she yeah. said, no, Megan. I said, then don't even worry about it.
Exactly.
When you hit, if you hit, start hit, lifting past 60 pounds, we can start having that conversation.
Then I'll right. put you in competitions.
Yeah.
Right.
You will be the strongest
well,
woman.
Well, and
yeah.
I, that's, that was like kind of the cool part too, is I could tell my clients, I'm like, do I look bulky to you?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like,
exactly.
Your girl
I'm like,
looks
look at
heavy.
Me. If I, exactly. if I don't fit in your, then yeah, go find another trainer. But like, if I... then yeah, then don't even worry about it.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about
yeah.
it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it was crazy. It, cause it did feel like, you know, just people were commenting a lot on it and they were always like encouraging. But of course PTSD from like the modeling world, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've gained weight.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not
yeah.
like, I'm not my measurements, like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And so that was, it wasn't without its challenges, without a doubt. But I like, I'm at the point now where I'm like, none of that is worth my
yeah.
well-being.
Yeah.
It is just not at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna sacrifice my body and my well-being at the cost of a darn photo shoot.
Yes.
Like, I'm just not.
But you are
Dude.
Still currently modeling, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, has it just looked like
right.
maybe you're being a little bit more selective in maybe the avenues that you go down with modeling?
Yeah, or? Definitely. And funnily enough, like, I am very much, I was like, and when I was doing like high fashion, you know, living in New York and everything, I was definitely like even smaller than some of those measurements, right? So even now I'm still kind of pretty much where I'm supposed to be. I
yeah.
do have a small, like I have a narrow frame, I have a small
mm-hmm.
frame, but it was funny. One of my agents the other day was like, can you come train like some of the models? Like you are just,
dude,
you look so good.
I freaking
like,
love
wow.
that. Like
wow.
just change
this
freaking industry.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Genuinely.
Dude, I
yeah,
love
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And it's just, it, like you said too, I think it is kind of shifting a little bit of like the market, that I can cater to now.
Mm-hmm.
It has actually broadened like
oh,
what
for sure.
I can work and do. And, yeah, so it's cool. I am in like that era right now where it is like, I'm about to dive into this like fall season and just
mm-hmm.
kind of see what opportunities are there. So, yeah, I'm so grateful I still get to have the opportunities I do with it. I mean, like I said, I have had some really cool gigs and jobs and things I've gotten to do, and there is so much that I love about it. So I'm grateful I can still
yeah.
do it being at this place
yeah.
I am now in
yeah.
my health. Like it's
yeah.
really, really,
and
really cool.
It's cool seeing you in a place of like, you're not going to compromise
yeah.
yes.
yourself
yeah.
anymore.
Definitely. Yeah.
For that industry.
Like the line got drawn
yeah.
in the sand too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool too, because you know, with everything God's been working in my life lately, it's like, there's been a part of me that's always like, whatever I got to do to keep modeling in the picture, I'm going to do it. Now I'm at the point where I'm like, when the time comes, like, I'm ready to release it.
Good.
Like, I am.
Yeah.
Like, my foot's always going to be somehow in it, whether it's on a real local level or... But I was just like, it's just, you know, I feel like I do so much more good when I'm working directly with women. Like,
yeah.
that
yeah.
is the work I feel called
mm-hmm.
to do.
Yeah.
So...
I love
thank
that.
You, Jesus.
Literally.
It's just been really cool just
yeah,
seeing
your
journey.
Because
we were
yeah.
there. You know, I was
yeah.
there when I was taking your measurements. And I was just like, I've never seen measurements like this. You know, and she's like, I need
sad.
To be smaller. You know what I mean? But it's
like,
but
what?
It's really a testimony to, like, you know, what God can do for sure. You know, and
mm-hmm.
it's just so cool seeing this journey through the years. And it's been years, guys.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
to be clear.
What,
like,
so 2017 through, like, now.
So for 7 years?
Yeah.
Like,
literally.
It's been a long
yeah.
time. But it's just been so cool. I mean, I'm telling you, like, I would see your stories, and it was just like, I saw muscle that I hadn't seen
yeah.
there, and it was just like,
I can remember one
so
of the first times
cool.
you reached out about it, and you were like,
dude,
girl.
I was
I'm like no.
Because getting strong is also just, like, a really addicting, not in, like, a bad way, it just feels good to feel strong, and I just think it's so important that women feel strong.
It is.
Physically, because
yeah.
I think it really does translate into the way we
but
feel about ourselves.
Then, as trainers, we can also talk about the strength that, or the role that actual skeletal muscle mass plays in. That's
yes,
like,
girl, longevity,
like strong
in our
is,
health.
Yes, it is literally. I'm like, oh, you want to lose weight? Strength training,
build
yeah.
muscle.
You know what I mean?
You
oh,
want to live a long time? Build muscle.
It's just, it's literally the foundation for everything. So it's like, and I'm fighting this battle with a few people in my life where I'm like, I promise you, just don't, like, throw away your scales. Like, please, please, please. So it's a battle, especially
for women, because it has been ingrained, you know, for decades.
Right. Yeah.
My mom said, I remember, and this was, like, such a sad thing, like, and this is just a testimony to that generation specifically, but, like, she was like, you know, I wasn't really good at that at much, but I was good at being small. You know what I'm saying? That how sad, like, and that is so many of that generation. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I love that we, you know, this generation, we're getting out of that cycle, but it is still down there.
Right.
You know what I'm
but
saying?
Still in it's that still, cycle. Yeah.
It, some of us are getting out of it. You know what I'm saying? But it is still down there. So I just like, just being able to see your journey is just so, you know, it's so wonderful. Yeah.
Well, and he had to take me through it.
Yeah.
had to take me through it. I know y'all have a very similar experience too. I mean, I know you guys were so tiny in high school as well.
Yeah, dude,
know?
We were green beans.
Yes.
And, but it just, it absolutely speaks to everything you just said. And like being able to have that testimony to share with women to encourage them is like, it was worth every single low point.
Yes.
It was absolutely worth it, you know, and I'm so grateful I can share that with people and just like rejoice in where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Like thank the Lord.
Yeah. Because I mean, well, I say it now, I'll say it over and again. Skinny's got nothing on strong. I'll just tell you that. It
Girl,
has
no.
Nothing
on strong.
Nothing on strong. Coming from green beans over here.
No, literally
from
like
green beans.
Throw a photo up somewhere.
I'll put it in there. Literally green beans.
Yes.
To like strong has nothing on being skinny.
Literally.
So
the best thing in the gym is when I just like bang out a couple of pull ups and I turn around and some dude's just like,
okay.
Yeah,
and like,
you're like
they're like just expecting us to get on the cardio equipment.
Right.
Like, no,
exactly.
no, I need the squat rack, actually.
Yeah.
Like, when are you done with that squat rack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're not really doing anything.
Yeah.
On there.
You're just chatting. You're lip service.
I'm just
kidding. Oh my gosh.
That's so funny.
Oh my gosh. I just love, I mean, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, all of that story. Because, I mean, you know, I'm sure that there's some points in there that maybe, you know, you weren't really excited to relive. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
I just
think
it's so cool.
And he's just given me so much peace around all of it. I mean, because it just, like I was saying, it's just, I see his plan. Like,
yeah.
I see what every single piece of it led to, and it's, I'm here now.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Book of Esther said, we were made for a time such as this.
And yeah.
All of it is what made me to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and we would, I mean, obviously health and fitness is like such a big part of all of our lives, but as you guys can, I'm sure, tell, we talk about the Lord a lot, so we'd love to hear maybe just like how, like, tell us your story.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. When did you first?
Yeah. Like, what was that
right.
like?
You know, encounter
oh my
Jesus
gosh.
In a powerful way.
That's
you know?
So good. Yes. It's cool. I think being a Christian, or at least growing up Christian, you know, it can be real easy to fall into these seasons where we're spiritually asleep. Because you almost go nose blind to the fact that you're around it so much.
Yeah.
But I can remember, you know, looking back, I can see all these different points where it was like God was just in my face, you know, whether it was a difficulty that brought me into deeper intimacy with him or whether it was just being in a place where I was in such awe and wonder, you know, that I was like, how could there not be somebody in charge of all of this? And, one of the biggest pinpoints I think I go back to, I think about this a lot, I think it was when we were living in Alaska, there was this time, it was the first time I really felt a sense of, like, depression. Mm. It was the hardest move I ever did. One of them, I guess, because I didn't have my siblings with me.
Yeah.
Literally 4,000 miles, you know, on the other side of the country, right? And there was this day where I was just... I remember I was struggling, you know, it's dark in the winter, like there's no sunlight. I just, and I didn't even know what I was dealing with. I was 13, 14 at the time. And I just had no clue like what these sensations were. And my dad's driving me to school. And mind you, we just, this place is stunning. Like you go to Alaska and you're like, wow, this is God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're driving to school and the sun's starting to come up. So it's, it's like October. And there was like a marsh at the base of our neighborhood and the sun's rising at like 7:30, whatever. It's the sky's pink and it's just perfectly reflecting off this like glass marsh water. And my dad puts on Oceans by Hillsong United.
Mm-hmm. I literally have that.
And, I'm like looking out the window, looking at this like stunning landscape and Spirit Lead Me Where My Trust Is Without Borders is just she's repeating it time and time again. And I was just like, oh.
I get it.
So that was kind of my first, I think, real big aha moment of feeling something bigger than myself. And then there's just this series of things, you know, and I'm sure y'all can look back and kind of see those those milestone markers back in your life. And definitely getting ready to go to New York and moving here. And I can very distinctly remember God being like, I got to get you ready to go to this city. And he was like, you need to be a light in this very dark city, in this very dark industry. And I remember, right, I have journals full of me writing about that in New York, and everything I faced in New York with just constantly having to practice faith over fear. You know, and then leaving New York and, you know, going back into this real deep discovery of, like, health and wellness. You know, I had to lean on him heavily for that. So there was just numerous milestone markers that kind of just led to this development. But like I said, I can also look back and see these times where I had fallen asleep in the faith very much. And I mean, I honestly feel like last year was a little bit of a season of that for me. He definitely just, I'm in a really fun place right now, but he definitely like was stirring in my heart for a big chunk of the last like year and a half. And I wasn't sure what it was, but I think it was speaking to this bit of uncertainty where I was like, you know, so around the time of 22, I'm like, I got to start laying the foundation for something. I don't know what it is or fully where I want it to be yet. And through a series of events over like the last year, he removed a lot from my life, which is not fun. But James tells us in chapter one of his book, you know, it is through struggle, like, he creates steadfastness in our faith, you know, and we got to rejoice in that. And it's just, like, so many things had kind of gradually been removed out of my life, and a lot of veils lifted, a lot of comfort taken away, and he just very recently brought me to the point of feeling so far down or just so lost, confused, that, like, gets you to the brink, and then he reaches out, right? And I grabbed on, like, full-fledged, you know, and I've always considered myself definitely, like, a faith-based spiritual person, but this kind of journey he's, like, brought me on the last couple of months with deciding to come back to Tennessee, it was all for him. I thought it was for, you know, modeling. I thought it was for getting my website built, which I'm doing, but it was without a doubt for growing a relationship with him, because he is about to set me on this next mission. And I think I'm just kind of getting prepared for battle right now, which I think a lot of women can attest to that are in the faith. You know, we just feel so called to be a healing balm to a very broken world. And I'm so grateful. I'm in a really exciting time right now. I mean, I don't even feel like I am who I was a week ago. Just, my spirit genuinely keeps getting renewed. You know, I kind of go back to this one thing, I think it was in Galatians, where it's not I who live in Christ, but Christ who lives in me, you know? And,
well, and a verse that came to my mind when you were talking about this is, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord giveth and he taketh away, but may the name of the Lord be praised, you know?
Amen.
So it's like, that has been a very, like, a very strong verse in my life. And so I see that in like your story right now, you know, what I'm saying, what you're going through right now.
He is pruning. He's been pruning away. And, I'm grateful. I just keep, you know, I think it kind of going back to some of the conversations we had earlier, I didn't realize some of the, not so great spirits I developed through some of my hardships early on in life with moving around and everything. And I very much developed a sense of control and perfectionism. And I thought I kind of let go of them, but I hadn't. And he very recently showed that to me, and it was messy. But it, like, the other side was just so beautiful. And it, like, the peace I feel now is nowhere near what I've had in my faith the last, I'm 23, almost 24. Most of my life, I guess. And, I just, it really does take us getting drawn into these quiet places of true intimacy with him. You know, he's going to remove the comfort, but it just brings us into deeper relationship with him, you know? And I'm so grateful. I wouldn't change a thing about it. And, to anyone that is feeling, you know, asleep in the faith or that has grown up in the church, like, have those check-ins with yourself. Like, check in with yourself, really question the well-being of your spiritual health, because it just is so easy to become complacent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the world doesn't need that right now.
Yeah.
We need people awake, ready to go, ready to disciple.
Yeah.
Because it's a hurting world.
Right.
And so I'm so thrilled that, you know, I've like just been able to receive him and listen to the call and grow to a place of rest in him that I just truly had never had before, especially under such a spirit of like control and perfectionism. And the fact that like I've been able to like finally release that has been a blessing I didn't know I needed.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
It's so beautiful.
He works in such wonderful ways. Praise God.
He does.
God.
He does. Lord, even as somebody who's been a Christian for a long time, like you have, you know, been a Christian for a long time, but just seeing God continually, it's not like it's you're over. Oh,
again,
I'm a Christian now.
The process of sanctification, that's literally what it is. It's a daily, like, striving to look more and more like the Lord, having these vulnerable conversations where you're like, all right, Allie, like, you're, you know, or like, you're like, Sarah and Megan, you know, you're struggling with this thing when you, so it's just like that daily, like you said, that daily check-in with yourself, and how do you do these things by being in community, by reading the word, like, all these things are so important.
Yeah.
If we're not doing them, then it's easy to fall asleep, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And to your point, too, it did take, like, almost my community, it took being separated from it, and it also took a couple of like my good female relationships to kind of be part of the catalyst of this, you know, this change. And like you said, it really, it doesn't stop.
No.
This whole life is a spiritual battlefield. I mean, we have got to keep our senses on and just be always attuned to him and his message. And because there's the enemy's always attacking.
Yeah.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's always around the corner, and you know, and that's really hard for some people to hear.
Mm-hmm.
That's really scary, and you know, it cracks me up. I'm thinking a lot about like some of those like a little bit triggering Christian buzzwords, if you will. One of them being convictions.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago, I was just like, wow, I feel like some of the ways I've been, you know, really leaning into him recently, I was like, I didn't have these convictions before.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have this, like, you know, like, unsatiable desire for him that I do now. You know, I didn't have some of the discipline in the faith that I do now, right?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of, not that faith needs to be measured by any means, but I think there is a bit of a barometer, like a weather system around it. And I think we really can measure our spiritual well-being by how strong our convictions are.
I love that.
Yeah. And so I've just been really kind of holding steadfast to that, thinking a lot about that, and just, yeah, like you said, it's a constant process of sanctifying our mind, body, and heart to him and his will, and reflecting that light from him just right on back to everybody else we possibly can. Like, that is the mission and that is the goal.
Right.
And what a blessing.
I know.
I mean, thank you, God. Like,
really
thank you that we even get to be a part
all
of it.
Right?
God.
That's
so
sweet. Thank
like,
you.
Thank you that you even allowed us to be a part of your story, God.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think all of that is, I mean, just so wonderful.
Well, and you guys have always been such huge inspirations for me, too. You know, like, moving here was no accident. It definitely, something about Tennessee, you know.
Something about Old Tennessee.
Yeah, I definitely, it was a big part of, like, my, like, faith transformation. And just knowing you guys and knowing y'all's hearts and, like, your stories and your journeys have always been, you know, lights in my life. And so I just,
that's
like,
so
thank you guys.
So the exact same about
we
you.
Do.
Aww.
We do.
Literally.
As we're so glad we were able, like, we, you know, when me and Sarah are talking about interviews, you know, we don't, you know, just want to like here and there. So we thought Allie, oh my gosh,
well, yeah,
Allie
we want
to
be intentional with people that we bring on. Cause it's like, not that it's like, we want people that are like-minded to come on and be able to like say the same things that we believe in so much. So not that we have anything against people that, you know, think differently, but it's like, yeah, that's the message that we're trying to put out there. And I even had somebody today come up to me and she was just talking about like the last episode where we talked about Grandpa. And she's like, you know, I love that you guys just talked about, you know, Jesus and the reality of, you know, life after death and stuff. And I was like, you know, that's the purpose. Like,
yeah,
there's no other purpose except for to glorify the Lord through this podcast. So if we're not doing that, then tell us, you know.
Someone,
it's like,
check
we
us.
Need that. Yeah, exactly. So
yeah, it's like we were saying, it's like, let's bring him back into every aspect of our life.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, let's stop living separate from the Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. It is ingrained.
Okay.
And we are.
And if you guys, anybody out there, if you want to have a conversation about the Lord, like, you got three people here. That's
I'm happy. I'm going to roll these days. I'm going to
love it. Yes. Well, Allie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been such a wonderful conversation.
And thank you guys for joining out there that are listening to us.
I'm so thrilled,
Yes, Allie out. Follow her on Instagram. She's amazing. She's a wonderful queen. Follow her journey.
I'm just a gal, y'all. I'm a goofy goober at the end of the day, I promise.
Don't worry, guys. We're working on keeping her in Tennessee.
We'll work on it.
I'm just kidding.
But yes, thank you guys so much for joining us today. And we hope that you join us for another episode next week of Double the Tea, where we spill all the tea. Bye, guys.